Blog Talk Radio.
Lay down.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. It's January 16th, 2023. Welcome to the show, Open Mic Night, Season 4, Episode 5. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi. Good evening, everyone. This is Michigan. I hope everyone is doing well.
Yes, everybody is doing well. And prison is happening all across America. Eggs.
Mm-hmm.
A dozen eggs for $6 something. Wow. Avian bird flu killing all the chicken, livestock, and everything.
They're
blaming Biden for the rising egg costs, which is madness and total ridiculousness. And the topic is up for discussion, whether politics, pop culture, or world events. Thanks for sharing across social media. Subscribe to www.facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. Leave a comment, and you can call us, 515-605-9802. Say your first name, where you're calling from. Turn off all television and electronic devices, as the background noise is distracting. This is Kitchen Politics 123, the radio show with David Franklin and Laura Picker. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. So, first up on the agenda, Laurie, is there's been a shooting that occurred in Albuquerque, New Mexico, where I live. And, the madness has gone. The Trumpers have lost their minds, their collective minds, as Salomon Pena, he is a Republican candidate that lost in the last election. Don't know what the hell he ran for, but he paid four men to shoot up the winning Democrats' houses. Can you say a sore loser? What a loser, man.
Well, not only that, David. It was actually six candidates that won, all the way down to county commissioner. One of the homes had like eight bullet holes in it. Another one had 12 in it. Another one of the homes went through the 10-year-old daughter's bedroom as she was sleeping. This is madness, absolute madness. And he is an election denier. He's also election denier, of course, a big Trump supporter, advocate, of course, and just one of those crazies. And yes, they did arrest him just today, recently, because it was breaking news. And you said his name. Now, the funny thing is that he is a convicted felon, okay? And they still chose him to run in this House race. The state records show the jury convicted Pena of 19 felonies, including burglary, larceny, contributing to delinquency of a minor, and receiving stolen property. For that, he served almost 7 years in prison.
But yet he's allowed to have a gun.
Well, not only that is he allowed to have a gun, but he ran for office. They put him up to run for office, as Santos in New York. But this one is worse because he had a record. Felonies, he spent time in prison, and he also acted upon his anger. It's ridiculous.
Yes. Scary, frightening. Wow.
It is.
Yeah, we'll reach this point in America where it's the Wild West. Nobody's safe, nowhere's safe, because in California earlier today, this mother and her child was shot dead by the father, and five other kids were shot and killed, and her mother was shot and killed, and somebody have the gall, the audacity, the nerve to say this was a loving father. Which loving father would kill his own baby and his family and his mother-in-law?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, the madness has to stop. I mean, it just has to stop because there are too many guns with crazy people. And that's the problem. You know, it's not the people that are, you know, responsible gun owners, because we know they're out there. There are responsible gun owners. They go to the shooting range. It's a sport to them. Okay, it's not my thing, but okay. But if you're responsible with it, that's fine. But the problem is these guns, as we see day in and day out, are getting into the hands of the wrong people. They are not background checked, nothing. Someone with, you know, that spent 7 years in prison for different things should not have a gun.
Exactly, exactly. I mean, where does this damn gun come from, you know? Was that illegal firearm? You know, we need to get the details of this, really. Because a man of his, you know, background should not have a gun. He shouldn't even run for political office, much less, you know.
That's the other thing, is that, the GOP just let him run. Obviously, they didn't care. They didn't give a shit if he had a record, that he spent 7 years in prison, that he could be a danger to humans. They didn't care. Only because he was an election denier, he was a Trump enthusiast, nutcase, and he's allowed to run for office. Is this how low we have sunk in this country? Is it?
Yep.
Obviously it is.
Yes.
You know.
Yes, ma'am.
It's just
So we'll have two callers online and get them shortly. Unbelievable. Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
Let's go.
Unbloody believable. Okay, so oh Lord, I don't know what to say about that shooting, really. The one in California and the one in New Mexico. Hello, Carla. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking?
I don't know. Are you? I guess it's me. This is Elaine from Michigan.
Oh
Elaine,
name.
How are you doing? How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. Can I tell some truths out here? Because we've had a caller that has really been down on what he considers aliens. And I'm going to share some facts with everybody. Including people that already know the facts and people who might be listening to this program and are confused as to what might be the facts. I have had long talks with people who have had green cards or who have green cards. They are not easy to come by.
No.
These are the people that the Republicans call illegals. They are not illegals.
Yeah.
They have to come to this country with a sponsor. Now, be it a farm, be it a hospital, be it a person, they have to have some sort of sponsorship. When they come to this country with a green card, excuse me, they have to pay for their entry. So they're not coming over here free. They have to pay for all the paperwork. Now, this paperwork, especially if they, on some of the countries they come from, this paperwork has to do with identifying the person. They have to get their fingers, all their fingers, what's it called? Anyways, they have to get fingerprinted. They have to get all their toes fingerprinted. They have to get their thighs fingerprinted. They have to get the sides of their arms fingerprinted. And I ask these people, why that? Well, if you're here on a boat or you're doing something bad, more than just your toes and your fingers, you have shoes on, you have gloves on, we may be able to identify a person through their the prints on the side of their arms, the prints on the side of their thighs. Now, all this paperwork has to be paid for. These people save the money to pay for these records to come over here. Now, I also hear that these illegal aliens, they're getting everything. They get this free and that free and this free, and I'm sure you've heard the same argument. They get nothing free. They pay taxes. The wages they earn, they pay taxes just like anybody else does off of their check. They even pay Social Security. Now, these records depends on what country they come from. Some of them only have to renew their records every year. Some of them have to renew them every 6 months. One of the people told me that it costs them, by the time they're done, over $1,500 a year to file all the paperwork just to work here in this country. So I would like the people out there to know these are not illegal aliens taking from you. These are people working, and these are people paying into the system. And that's what I have to say for tonight.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Now, I know this for a fact because I sat at the table with off and on when my husband was going to physical therapy. I sat at the table with numerous different green card holders, and some of them were in the country approximately 5 years. Some were lucky. They said they were lucky. They were here for 10 years, but they knew eventually they would have to go back. They have to go back. Unless they try for citizenship, and then they are put in line.
Yeah. I mean, Republicans, like, for example, Ronald Reagan in 1981, let in, like, over 5 million people, some of them from Cuba, when Fidel Castro let them out of prisons, the scum of the earth from Cuba, prisons and rapists and, you know, whatever else. The unwanted in society in Cuba. George H.W. Bush let through 1.5 million immigrants, and it got through quickly what they needed. You know, but why is Republicans now today fighting so much against immigrations or immigrants? You know, that's the million-dollar question. Is it because they're afraid that when these immigrants eventually get their citizenship, they vote en masse for Democrats? You know, and they're not white, so, you know, there lies a problem.
No, it is to put hysteria on the regular voter. It is to make the regular voter afraid of the person who speaks with an accent who might be working next to them. It's to feed them lies so that they go to the polls and vote for Republicans. This is why I decided tonight I would start setting the record straight. And this is knowledge that I got from the people sitting around the table talking to them. And this is way before your program.
Oh, yeah.
I have sat on this knowledge for probably 5 to 6 years.
Oh, yeah. You know, I've talked to people that have had green cards as well in the past. And absolutely, you're absolutely right. It's not an easy road. They don't, you know, there's a lot of red tape. It takes a lot of time and money. And you have to have a heart to want to be in this country. You really have to want it badly. So, you know, these people that are down on, you know, immigrants, I say, just go back to where you came from and see how well you would be accepted in your country. That's all I've got to say about that.
Yes. Yeah, to answer your question, Laurie, yes. The person is here.
Okay.
Hello, Carla. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123, calling from Flint, Michigan. How are you tonight?
Hello.
Hello. Hi, welcome.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, you're online. You're on air. Hello.
Oh,
welcome.
Me?
You're on air.
Yes.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
How are you? Bethany?
Oh, I'm Bethany. I live in Flint, 810 area code.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. We've spoke for many years, Bethany.
Yes, we have. Thank God. Thank you for listening.
No problem at all.
I'm nobody here, just an old lady that lives here.
No, you're somebody. Don't say that. You're somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I just noticed what was happening here in the takeover of Flint.
Yeah.
And I kind of want to say some things about that.
Go right ahead. And let's
first I noticed when my daughter was alive. Hello?
Bethany, can I say one thing first? I don't mean to interrupt you, but the Flint water crisis started in 2014, correct?
Uh-huh.
And here we are, 2023, and there is still lead in the water?
As far as I know, in some places in Flint, yes.
Yes, and you are still drinking bottled water, correct, Bethany?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, darling. Okay, now you can go ahead. I just wanted to kind of give people a sense of what's happened, you know, when the timeline of when the Flint water crisis happened. Governor Schneider was governor at that time as well, and in my opinion, he mishandled everything. So you can go ahead and tell your story. We will listen.
Okay. Well, I first noticed the emergency manager was here, and so downtown was about empty at that time, but there were some places. My daughter used to go downtown and dancing and stuff. Well, my house got robbed. This when I first started noticing what was going on. I called the police, but the police wouldn't come. And my daughter said, if you want to see police, you got to go downtown where there were all the rich people were from the skirts and the college kids. So she showed me pictures of cop car just driving back and forth downtown. She showed me pictures of cops just sitting in bars. She showed me pictures of a college girl posing with a cop on a Segway with her cop's hands up the girl's shirt, which I thought was appalling because all the cops were supposed to watch downtown and nobody would come to the neighborhood, and my neighborhood used to be good. So then the water crisis came, and that was a hot mess and still is. And I went to a meeting downtown, and what was upsetting to me, they were trying to push that privatized water. We were on Detroit's waters, which at that time Detroit owned their water. And they lied and said if we went to the Flint River and went to KWA, our water prices would be cheaper. That is not true. They got the KWA pipeline. We're not on it. We're still on Detroit. And the people are on, and the Flint is mainly poor. We're on the hook to pay 60% of my bill goes to pay the bonds for KWA, and I'm not on KWA. We have to pay the bonds.
Bethany, tell them a little bit about the bonds and what they're for.
To pay for that pipeline, the KWA pipeline.
Okay.
Yeah.
And
we're not on the KWA pipeline.
Yes. Just to reiterate, you are you're getting water from Detroit, but you paying the bond for the KWA, but you are not on that water, correct?
That's
being
true.
Given water. Okay.
That's
so
true. We're on the hook to pay the bond.
Okay. Who gets that water, Bethany? Who gets the KWA water?
The outskirts, like Fenton, Schwartz Creek, I mean, different towns, Grand Blanc, the affluent outskirts. There's mostly poor people in Flint.
Okay, so I was just going to ask you that. Now, this is a more affluent area. Is that what you're saying to me? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The richer areas.
Okay, and so, in other words, the people of Flint that are primarily people of color, correct?
Right. True.
They're being still on Detroit water, but paying high water bills because they're paying
bonds for this. We got the highest water rates in the United States in Flint. There's mainly poor people here.
Yeah.
No.
Go ahead.
And we have the highest water bills, and 60% of my bill goes towards the pay the KWA like everybody else in Flint. 60% of your water bill pays for KWA water, not Flint, not Detroit. I'm on Detroit.
That is robbery. That's robbery, isn't that, David?
Yes, it is. Have you spoken to your congressional representative to see what he or she can do about that?
They all know.
And they haven't done anything about it for the past 9 years?
Nope. I was at the meeting. They threatened to sue Flynn if they didn't agree with their contract or whatever crap stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just screwed here. But
what about your mayor? Does the mayor have anything to say about this? Who is your mayor right now? I used to know.
His name is Neely.
His name is Neely. Yeah.
No, nobody does anything about it. They're gentrifying the town really big time here. And, like, what I see is wrong. So
of course.
What they're doing here is, like, you know who Mott is. Ridgeway White is a Mott. They own Domino Sugar. They own U.S. Sugar. And they've been in trouble for slavery violations. They just made record profits out east of their canning factory because they included Snapple and they started putting fruit and applesauce. Well, out there, they wanted to cut the people's, make it, the people that worked at their plant $1.50 an hour, take away, make them pay more for their health insurance and freeze their pensions. So this family's been in trouble for slavery violations in Florida with the Haitians they hired to cut the cane. And so they're really running the show here. There's a company called Uptown Development Corporation. It's for-profit and non-profit. And so all the buildings they're buying downtown are 501Cs, and they don't pay taxes to the city, but they're making money. Another example is they took our blight money here and tore down buildings downtown, the Uptown Develop, whatever they are, Corporation, Uptown Reinvestment Corporation. They took our blight money, they tore a bunch of buildings down that were not condemned. And I live around houses that are burned, empty, and falling apart. They took our blight money that came here, tore down buildings that were not dilapidated with our blight money. Then they put a for-profit apartment complex downtown. Now, that kind of stuff pisses me off where I live. So, they took our money, a lot of our money for the crisis, water crisis. They bought the Capitol Theater that was kind of falling apart. They used our blight money to fix it up, our water, emergency, a lot of our water money to fix it up. The people didn't see a lot of this money that came here.
No, I
didn't. You know, and the water crisis ruined my bathroom, and everything was corroded, and I had to put a new bathroom in here, and I don't have that kind of money. I mean, it's irritating. So what I see here is my neighborhood was good, what they did. Now, to me, it's diabolical.
It is.
So the people left because they made us tear down this building called the Towers and put a huge tax assessment on it. Then they turned around sold it to some rich lady for a dollar the stinking land. And so they took anything the people owned here has been taken away. They even sold the Santa Claus and reindeer off an emergency manager here that we used to sit on City Hall. Now, what the heck, a Santa Claus and reindeer? Are you serious? Okay, we voted
That's
to keep
crazy.
Our neighborhood libraries open. They closed them all down in the neighborhoods and left one open in an affluent area. So the kids can't walk across town in my neighborhood to go to the library. The kids used to go to the library. Well, then they started opening up bars everywhere. I mean, liquor stores everywhere. The gas station on the street from me, they are allowed to sell what's called a brown bag with a crack pipe, a lighter, and a chore boy in it, and that's for smoking crack. So the children in my neighborhood now are exposed to all this crap, and it pisses me off, too, and I'm sorry, I'm not very good at talking.
That's okay. But don't worry.
But it's all about gentrification here. Downtown, nobody frequents downtown except outsiders and the people from the outskirts. We know we're not welcome there.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's terrible.
Opinion. Oh, we're paying taxes now to what they privately own. The Mott's, who are millionaires. We pay taxes for buildings they privately own now.
Mm-hmm.
I just can't believe it. I mean, the way the world's going, and
it is so
I started reading about the Mackinac Center for the Public Policy, and that's what's pushing all this crap, in my opinion.
Yes.
And they had this guy named Overhitton, and he developed this way how to push this stuff through. It's like they're trying to change how people think and make what's unthinkable normal.
Mm-hmm.
Because I came from a town where we owned our water department and, you know, stuff like that. And so this is just weird to me. They're taking one area. I'm upset about the whole thing. They took one area that was bad, and their shop workers used to live around there. Well, they did the same thing, and then all the shop workers moved out. So now they got that area where their friends are moving in, like these artist people and all that stuff. They aren't even from here. And they're all moving in, and they all get tax abatements for buying these houses. And so it's just amazing to me. They closed down all the liquor stores there so they can do that when they want a neighborhood to be nice. But they brought them all over here, which is beyond me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's just people movers. That's what it is.
And, Do you have a city manager form of government or a strong mayor form of government?
Mayor.
I know you elect your mayor, but as you mentioned city manager.
I did.
Do you have a city manager form of government?
No, we have a mayor. We have a mayor. It's a mayor form. Saginaw is a manager.
I just wanted to ask that question.
Yeah, Elaine,
no, it's
she was
a mayor
talking
here.
She was talking about emergency manager. Emergency manager.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We had emergency manager here. And that kind of really got the ball rolling, the destruction of how things work.
That is when it all started. Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's my opinion.
The other thing I was going to ask you, Bethany, is, are they still fixing the pipes? I mean, what are they doing to help?
They did most of the pipes from the houses to the road, but they didn't do the main. So that's where a lot of the problems still lie. They're not planning on doing the main.
They didn't do the main. That's crazy.
They're not doing the main.
That's crazy.
But they did the mains, I noticed, in the wealthy area. In the wealthy area where the mansions are, they did the mains.
Uh-huh.
So they're not doing the mains in, like, my area, no.
Wow.
That's
Do you know what I sort of said? As you said, gentrification. They're trying to, like, squeeze out the minorities and the poor whites from out of the area. And when those people are out, they fix up the pipeline and prices will skyrocket. You know, and
that's
the rich people.
In that area, I was telling you, they're gentrifying. The land bank is supposed to be a place that they take abandoned houses and the county buys them or whatever, and they have this land bank thing. Well, in the area they're gentrifying, they got in bed with that Uptown Development Corporation. They used money to fix up the houses. You got hell to pay to buy a house around here. A church wanted to buy an old building so we could have neighborhood watch again and the building. And they had to wait 5 years and pay all kinds of money. But then they took those houses they fixed up over there and put them online like they weren't land bank houses. And so the houses are going for tons in an area that was dilapidated because that's the area they want to save because it's near Kettering College and it's near the hospital. Kettering College is like a college for very wealthy kids go to here.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
They have a plan.
Well, I went to meetings. It's craziest meetings you couldn't believe. It's called the master plan. I went to a meeting about this master plan, and it was so bizarre. And they were talking about making most of Flint farms, like knocking down houses, and they had farmer people doing, you know, looking at land. And so I went to this meeting. This man, he stood up, and he talked, a very good-looking guy. He had overalls on and tall, older man. He says, I'm a retired shop worker. I am not a farmer. These people don't want their neighborhoods taken away, but that's what they're pushing. And so I went to another meeting because I want to see what's up with this master plan. Well, they handed me a dot, and they said, this is all going to be green space. They told me to stand up. I went for a free lunch. They always serve food. And I went for a free lunch. And so they said, put the dot here. This is going to be green space. Then they put it in the newspaper, the people of Flint want this master plan shit. And so I don't want that master plan stuff. I got people in all these areas in Flint. I have friends. Why would I want them, their neighborhoods to be raised for stinking farms?
No.
In the,
sounds unrealistic anyway.
So... it's all crazy like that. It's just insanity what I see going on.
Now, was there a money settlement? I thought there was a money settlement. Did any of the Flint residents get any of that money?
Okay, I'm telling you, I signed up for the lawsuit. I had lead testing. They said you can't use your lead testing. They threw it out of court. Nobody I know has gotten any money.
Of course.
I think they're pushing just for kids, little kids. The baby next, my house had really high lead. They said, do not drink my water. I was called. And so they tested my house. But at first when this all started, I took like 6 tests to the water department, downtown Flint. My water was like the sandy sediment in it, and they yelled at me because I called it dirt in my water. Well, I called it, look at this dirt in my water. And they said, it's not dirt, it's sediment. Okay, what's the difference? It still looks like dirt.
What is
to me.
The difference? Yeah.
There is none.
Oh.
So I'd fill up my tub, and it was disgusting. I want to take a bath, and then saw this sediment in the bottom of my tub. It scratched it all up. And so it just made me mad because nobody would listen to me. Nobody would listen to me. Nobody would come here and check on anything to see what was going on. And then when that college came here, they tested my house, and they said I had high lead. So the baby next door, the grandma called me and said the baby was born with high lead. My other friend, they tested the baby's umbilical cord. The baby had lead. The baby's, there was in the lead they found was in the umbilical cord. So,
God.
It just... all this stuff, you know, people were dying of Legionnaires. They didn't care.
I remember that.
So, whatever. I mean, just stop, Matthew. And so, but what really bothers me is the gentrification stuff and what they're doing and how they're doing it. Because if you have all these liquor stores around here in this poverty-ridden area, that's on purpose because people can't fight back when they're all blew out. And I'm old.
Of course. Yeah.
I'm old and don't get around well.
I understand.
Know?
And that's just sad. And the homes, if you wanted to sell your home, could you sell it? Probably not because of the lack, correct?
No. I can't.
Yeah, so,
what happened here? I bought my house in this neighborhood. It was really good. I owe a lot of money on this house still. I bought it when my daughter was alive. We were splitting the bills. But she died right around the time all this crap was going on, and she had cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So all this stuff happened. And so now my house is worth nothing. I owe still tons on it because I wouldn't have bought a house in a really horrible neighborhood. It was all middle-class people, shop workers, retired teachers. There was a doctor in my neighborhood, stuff like that. They're all gone. Everybody's gone. Mm-hmm. It's all rentals around me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm here, but there's a few people here. But I ended up with a million sewing machines because everybody knew I And it was sad, like, people were dropping off these big, huge metal, old-fashioned sewing machines. And they would say, this was supposed to be my retirement, but my kids are moving me out, you know. So, like, again, like, if anybody needs a sewing machine, please let me know.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh, Beth.
Because everybody knew I sewed. They kept bringing their, these people quit sewing their own.
You do sew, don't you? You sew, Bethany. You sew,
yes.
Right? Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to cut back because I've been real sick, and trying to cut back, but it's really hard.
There's a way that you could just leave your home and just start over. Who cares if the bank takes it over? I mean, that sounds terrible of me to say, but, yeah, I mean, honestly.
Well, there's a squatter. Here's what happened today. There's a squatter in the house behind me. He never bothered me. I never turned him in. But today he caught the house on fire. That stuff. They try to keep him warm. It's cold here. And so he caught the house on fire. Fire department was here. Consumers came. All around me. I mean, geez, oh, Pete, one thing after another. And then your insurance company.
Have you ever tried to contact, like, your congressman or your senator?
Talked to him before when I was in the Democracy Defense. We've talked to him about different things. Mm-hmm. But I haven't been going to the meetings and that because I've been sick lately and on oxygen and stuff.
You can email, you can email as well. I really want to bring this story a little bit. Bethany, if you would come back, because I really feel that this is just awful. I feel that Flint, I've been to Flint quite a few times, and I feel that it was a beautiful city, and it's just being destroyed for greed and for profit, of course. And
I can tell you some stories because I've told for a lot of people, but I should.
Yeah. I mean,
and so, I sold for this one lady, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she goes to the buy shopping and all those places. And she wanted to make her curtains. First, she tells me she doesn't like people of color, and then she tells me that we're all lazy. I said, I'm disabled. I don't want to make curtains. I just do alterations. I can't crawl around the floor like that. I don't have a drapery table. Well, she started mocking me, so I said I'd do it. Well, she didn't buy enough fabric. I went to Joann's. It was $50 a yard. And I bought I bought her 60 inches length, enough to make her a curtain because she shorted me. She didn't know how to measure for curtains. I don't know what the heck her problem was. Well, she threw $60 on my table and said, here you go. You want too much money. I think I was charging her $30 a plant. Okay, so I made $10.
Really?
I bought her freaking...
Oh, what a wench.
Yeah, well, then she's telling... Okay, get a load of this. She's telling me. Her fam... I shouldn't say this. But don't repeat nothing I say. But she told me her family owned Fruit of Loom. We moved it out of the States because we're all lazy here. It's in India. Mm-hmm. And she said her family was so benevolent, they finally put in flush toilets. I'm thinking in my head, I said, are you damn serious? Where have these people been peeing? And so I didn't say anything to her because I can't because she's a customer. And so she told me they don't pay these girls. They give them housing and food, and they sew Fruit of the Loom underwears or whatever, T-shirts, who knows.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, how horrible. This is how these people think. This is how they think. They think. I mean, it's amazing what I've learned living here.
Oh,
you know.
Yes, Bethany. I swear.
Now you know why I'm upset.
I know. I understand.
I can see what they're doing in Flint. They're improving the downtown area for the affluent.
Yeah.
And the beer drinking college kids, the college kids that spend their money on weekends.
Yep.
And they're letting the rest of Flint go to hell. so that they can pick up the property for nothing.
Yeah,
that's what they do.
They've got about a 10-year plan.
Probably.
Well, they sure got rid of all the workers. I first moved around here. It's mainly retired shop workers and people that worked. They got it's all rentals around here. What a rental people.
Uh-huh.
They smash them up and leave them. I mean, that's what's going on. And then they encourage people with alcohol and drugs. This is numbing people. This is on purpose.
That's right.
They, you can't fight back if you're drunk and high.
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No.
I mean,
listen, continue the conversation. I'll have a call back because something, my phone is acting up and everything. So continue the conversation. I'll keep an eye on who calling in and what have you. I'll call right back in, but keep the conversation going.
Oh, oh. All right.
Is he
go
from
ahead.
Michigan, too? Is this all Michigan people?
Yes.
Oh, okay, good. So I was going to tell you, like, this all points, when I do research, it all points to the Mackinac Center.
Mm-hmm.
All what's going on here. And and then I started digging around about Ridgeway White. Well, the people of Michigan own the deaf school down the street. That was a public school for years. Ridgeway went to the state. He got them to sell it to him. I guess it was a big fight. He didn't tell the people at the deaf school or the deaf people. So I was driving through town, but all of their protests at the deaf school, all the deaf kids and all teachers and stuff. And so now the people of Michigan, we pay Ridgeway White $2 million a year to rent something we once owned. Now get a little, I mean, it's privatization is really over the top here.
That's awesome.
In other words, it's a chartered school.
And you have a mayor.
We used
to
own the Michigan School for the Deaf. It was a public school.
Yeah, now it's
a chartered
school.
It was a public school.
Yeah.
Just
and
years.
This is just highway robbery. I mean, I don't know how else to put it. And it is so wrong. It's infuriating. It's just maddening.
And so when I go to school board meeting, Ridgeway White sends us people there. And so, and I was sitting next to that guy. I said, why are you here? You don't live in Flint. Oh, because we're the mods and we have interest in the schools.
Mm-hmm.
You do not. You have interest in a property that the schools are on.
Wow.
They
when it becomes, who owns the charter? Well, who owns it? What corporation? Do you know, Stephanie?
No, but I know Ridgeway White. He built two schools on that was property that the people owned. The
which college?
Owned.
Which college sponsored them?
Well, Ridgeway White himself, the Mott guy. He
no,
bought the property.
They
put
to get a charter, a college has to sponsor them. The college can sponsor a corporation. That you're going to have to find out who owns the school and which college sponsored them.
Well, I just know that the Motts own that property now. And
I know they own a lot in Flint, the Mott family.
Yeah.
I know they own a lot in Flint. I know
They own all the town.
But
I'm living in a town.
You got to put a name with the corporation. You just can't.
Mm-hmm.
You can't title it like this. You can't get help until you start naming
names.
Well,
the Mott Foundation, the Mott Corporation, the Uptown Development. They call it Uptown Development Corporation.
Are they owned by people in Massachusetts, California, overseas?
No. They live in Fenton, and they don't live here anymore, the Motts. They live in Lake Fenton. And so, because I looked it up. And so, that's all I know is that he built that building, and he was hailed for building those charter schools, but they want to take over all the public schools and make them all charter. I noticed the shift to that. That's all I know.
You want to fight that.
Yep. Yeah,
so
that
that's
no.
Okay,
I'm
so
really
the kids in Flint are, okay, this is another thing because I went to a few school board meetings or county buildings, Genesee County, whatever, school thing. this is what I found out, which was I felt that because of the water crisis, more kids have learning disabilities in Flint than they do in the outskirts.
Yeah.
Grand Blanc gets more money for disabled kids than we do here. But the kids here are more disabled. It doesn't make sense. So that's the way it goes.
That's awful.
You know? So I guess they just want us all to go away and just disappear and whatever. I don't know what the deal is. Well, we pay all the taxes.
Do you have any idea, Bethany, what the population is in your area right now? Do you have any idea?
No. It's shrunken a lot.
Yeah,
it's just,
sure
I mean, there's so many empty houses everywhere. The South End used to be really nice when I moved here. That's pretty much wiped out. I mean, that's bad. And my area got wiped out. And when I first came here, a lot of areas were really nice.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's a shame.
I mean, it is. But I don't know. I'm not very good at talking.
No, you're very good. You're very good. You absolutely are very good, Bethany. And it breaks my heart that in this country we have such hatred and greed and power for poor people. It just makes me sick. It makes me want to just scream. I wish that your mayor at least would get involved somehow to contact the governor or the lieutenant governor. I mean, you know, Gilchrist. I don't understand why they don't even do that. I mean,
they had a good governor. They had a good governor.
The best person to talk to is Attorney General Dana Nessel, because what the people of Flint going through is absolute nonsense. You know,
I agree.
The gentrifying Flint, running out of minorities and black people, making rich people come in. You know, and you know the health of the people is like not even secondary. There's no care about black people, basically. You know, and somebody needs to stand up for them. And Dana Nessel, as Attorney General, should go in there and, you know, make some head start rolling. And this guy, Sheldon Neely, he's doing nothing, absolutely nothing. So I guess he's in the pockets of
Went to protest, he was in Lansing at one time. He had an office in Lansing. We went for a protest about the water in Lansing. We went to his office. He said we were embarrassing him. When I could walk better, I'd go to a lot of the stuff. But, So, I don't know what's up with him. I don't know. I haven't been downtown.
Oh, all right.
According to this,
I don't think he's any good.
The population for Flint estimated in 2021 is 80,628 people. You know, so I looked it up and everything. But Jesus, man.
Well, what I noticed, too, in Flint, like in this area in the north end that's kind of like really poor and, you know, and really bad, there's a plant up there that caused a lot of pollution. I know some people up there, they're all in oxygen, they're all sick. They wanted to put an asphalt factory up there, and they have enough problems with the other factory that's up there. And I can't remember what it is. But it's like environmental racism. I mean, they wouldn't put this in Fenton, this plant. They wouldn't put this in the... What I noticed is that this, they wouldn't want, like, a pipeline through their stinking neighborhood or a stinking factory that makes you sick. But they'll do it to the black neighborhoods. It blows my mind what I see here. It really does.
And you see it. And Bethany, that's the whole thing, and that's the sad part, you know, about it. And
I noticed I come from an immigrant town. Saginaw was an immigrant town when I grew up. There was Polish areas, Italian, German areas, whatever. Saginaw's an immigrant town. People came from overseas and landed there, whatever, for the lumbering area, The Polish people right. wood carvers, and they came to build those lumber baron homes. So, I mean, there was all these areas. So there wasn't a big influx of Southerns like there is in Flint. People from the mm-hmm. south came to work in the plants. So they brought a lot of their racist values here. There's
no
I noticed
kidding.
A lot more racism here than where I grew up. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah,
so,
it sure it does. It does.
It probably does.
Because I hear comments like that one lady saying she doesn't like black people. And I've heard other comments like that a lot around here. And they think because I'm white, they can talk to me like that. And I finally told that
it's
rich
terrible.
Lady, you can leave my house and don't let the door hit you on the ass on the way out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I sound like
thing.
A horrible person, but I got black
no,
Muslims
don't.
Next to me. The little girls, they got a lot of kids. So the little girls are over here. We were making doll clothes. These are little kids that come over and bake cookies with me. And so
mm-hmm.
she told me the kids had to leave, and she said they're going to grow up and kill me. The kids come
oh
and respect them. They're very respectful. And their parents
yeah.
are really nice. So I don't understand her. So that's why I kicked her out of here and said, don't let the door hit you on the way out. Yes,
I do.
I mean, I don't let the door hit you in the ass, William. I just got so upset because she's, I mean, she's talking about little kids.
I don't blame you at all, Bethany, at all.
Well, then another thing I had happen around here is these white people started renting, and then they were all drunks and druggies. They wrote hate speech against Muslims in the road, and they were always teasing little girls with their babushkas on. They wear scarves around their head. And so
mm-hmm.
they were screaming obscenities at these kids. Well, I woke up in the morning, I went down my street, and I looked, and they wrote death to Allah and
oh.
all this horrible stuff about stuff out of Revelations and just weirdo stuff. And so what I did is I called the police. The police wouldn't do nothing. I called the city. They told me it wasn't legal. That's hate speech, okay? So
it sure is.
I called some people I knew in the ACLU. The city then did something and locked that guy up in jail for a while. He had to apologize. I was like, why do I have to go through these great lengths to get anything done? It makes me angry. And then the news comes to interview me. I couldn't talk to him because all I could do was cry because I get so upset.
I understand that.
All I can do
so
is cry.
So do you think Michael Moore,
petty.
Michael Moore is originally from Flint, Michigan. I don't know if
Davidson.
You can get in contact with him. And maybe Michael Moore can try to help the situation, you know, and people like Dana Nestle, Attorney General, you know, because people need justice, need to be treated fairly and with respect and everything. You know, this name calling. And so the person we told to get out of your house and don't let the door hit you on the way out, is she a white woman or, you know?
I'm white.
No. The person who you ran out of your house to say, don't let the door
she's
hit
white.
The way yep. out. She's
she
a white woman also. Okay. Yeah. When,
is she from the south?
Huh?
Is she from the south?
No, she's just really super rich. She hangs around with the mod. She goes to Dubai and all these crazy places.
She's better than everybody.
Well,
because
I go to Guatemala and buy there for nothing.
Yeah.
So she thinks she's better than everybody because she has money. Yeah, that's
the
problem that's wrong with America. You know, worship people with money who have, you know, millions of dollars, you know. And, you know, look at Donald Trump. He has no money. He's broke. His taxes came out out of there. You know, he's broke like a joke, you know. But yet still, these assholes, these MAGA worshippers, and people in Congress like Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert, you know, worship him. You know, we need to cut that shit out, man. You know, we're in this thing together. Not looking down on people and shitting on people. Come on.
Yep. Terrible.
So, I mean, I just hate to sound like a horrible person, but maybe I am. I don't know. I just look at things
don't
differently.
Sound horrible.
You're not horrible. You're not horrible.
No.
You're a human being.
Yeah.
No.
Makes
well,
me mad. I think I am going to give a call to Dana Nessel's office, see if I can get anywhere, just for the hell of it. I'm going to try.
I'm sure they know everything that's going on here. They got us paying taxes to what they privately own.
It's just,
because they put it out there, and all these dummies in the outskirts don't know what's going on here. They all voted, we're going to give you, cut the prices to you to go to the Capitol Theater. It's privately owned. All the stuff, the art, see, our art museum and all that stuff is owned by the Mott. If it wasn't, the emergency manager would have took it away like they were trying to do to Detroit's art museum. Because it's privately owned, they couldn't take the planetarium and the art museum away.
Mm-hmm.
So they got us paying taxes for that. Those people can well enough afford to pay for their own crap.
Of course they can.
When you own U.S. Sugar, I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And
of
as far as
they
I'm,
can.
Yeah. So I watched a thing online. It's like what they're doing in Florida. They ruined a whole lake down there. They're polluting the water with their plantations, sugar plantations. They had a meeting. I watched it online, and it all boiled down. They were talking about Ridgeway White, who is a Mott. And so it was bizarre to me. All the way in Florida, they're talking about him, you know, and they were talking about the Mott Hospital, how it's a way for them just to, they started the Children's Hospital a while ago, part of Hurley, and it was just a way for them to get away with murder, just about.
Basically.
And so... So they were saying how they were in trouble for slavery violations with the Haitians. They were saying all this stuff about them and how much money they make with U.S. Sugar and Domino's part of U.S. Sugar. So that's all I know. Because in Michigan, we have sugar beets. And I know from Saginaw, the farmers took over the Michigan sugar because I don't know what happened to the corporation, the big one. They just bailed out, so the farmers took it over.
Awesome.
So the farmers own Michigan Sugar. I'm from that area. Yeah. So it's just
definitely
a totally different scenario here. I'm not in my element, I guess. Yeah.
One second, Bethany. Susie, are you on the line?
Yes, I excuse me. Yes, I am.
Hi, Susie.
Stephanie, I'm so sorry for all your troubles. I really do think you should get a hold. Maybe get 4 or 5 of your friends or people that know what's going on there. Get a hold of Dana Nessel. And then get in touch with the Detroit News and say you need to do a major investigative report on Flint, what's happening now, what happened and how many people were screwed. And, you know, get some of your information put together so they can start. I used to write for the Detroit News, but I did feature stuff, you know, soft stuff, you know, like Mackinac Island, blah, blah, blah. But I think they would be really interested in that, plus TV stations, and just smear their ass from left to right. But Ness will be the one
thing
to talk to.
Another thing I looked up, Detroit owns their energy, gas, and electric. Bay City does, too. And then the Mackinac Center for Public Policy wants to take that over, too. Not only do they want to own water, they want to own towns that have their own electrical crap, too.
That's just
and
not right.
Consumers.
And then, I mean, they didn't even do your pipes down the street. What the fuck is up with that? Excuse my French, but I'm really pissed.
No, it's
that
true.
Poor little baby that was born with the lead in her belly.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Nobody cares because we're poor. We're just, everybody's poor here. We're disposable people. We're just, we're
looked
down upon.
But they're making you poor. And you're paying taxes for Flint water that you don't use. That's horseshit.
Yeah.
I don't think Nessels knows anything about it. And she just got reelected, so she's in there for another 4 years.
Yep.
I wish she could get a group together and talk to her, call her, go see her.
Well, the stuff about, I told you how I got out of the news about the deaf school down there. That was in the news. how much, you know, Ridgeway Way paid for the land, how much we're paying for rent. I got that from the news, stuff like that. And I just kind of keep my open. I do a lot of research online.
Good.
And so.
Good.
When
I know. You got to have some help with that. You got kids, grandkids, or anything to help you with
my
the
daughter
gathering
never
of information?
Children. My daughter never had children.
No.
But my daughter is the one that pointed out why we weren't getting police. And I mean.
I know. That's a disgrace.
Oh, they closed down all the. Okay, it's just like this. They closed down all the mini stations, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, they wouldn't mow any of the grass here. In the park, public park, some old man in the park was mown just by the swings.
Oh,
just
my
so the kids
God,
could play.
Your mayor is disgusting. He's
this,
useless.
Though,
I agree.
Before. This was before. This was a while ago when the EM was here.
Well, I mean, he's not much better. He's not helping you guys. He's supposed to fight for
your
city.
I went to a planning meeting downtown. Just for the heck of it, my daughter was dead. I was bored. And I went to a planning meeting because it said open meeting. So this was kind of weird. I'm sitting there, and they're planning on building a brand new park downtown. They're building a park downtown. I raised my hand. I asked real politely. I wasn't being rude. Why are you planning on building a park when you don't take care of any of the parks in the neighborhoods? They're all overgrown. Nobody's mowing them, and they said there was no money. And they asked me who I was. I said, I'm a nobody. I just live here. I just wanted to come to this meeting. You know, I'm nobody important here. And so they said, because we're the planning commission, that's why.
Well,
I'm
staying on the parks that you got.
Yeah, that makes sense to me. It didn't make sense to me. Well, then they had catered food that, you know, some fancy deli, and I got to eat good. That's about it. But, I mean, it just blows my mind. Just like
it sounds
all.
Like their meetings are all for bullshit shows.
Well, they're all in bed
and they're not doing
people.
Anything for the people.
No, they're not. And I keep
it's
going
everything's uptown. They're building all these apartments, real expensive apartments downtown. I mean, I'm sure this is going on in Detroit too. This is not just Flint. You know?
Oh no.
I'm sure.
It
goes on every city.
It goes on in every.
But in Saginaw, they tried to take one of their parks away. They wanted to build high-end condos. Because before, mainly, just poor people lived near the river. Nobody wants to live near the river. It's all a bunch of poor people. So, I mean, the river's polluted, nasty. So then they, all of a sudden, like everybody wants to live near water. Everything changed. And so they're going to build high-end condos down near the river. Well, that land was donated at the park by some old lumber baron a million years ago or 100 years ago. The people in that neighborhood got together and went to the family. They cannot take it away from them like they were trying to. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, here it's like nothing like that happens. They just take whatever they want.
You know
I mean,
what? Stephanie,
I have another brilliant idea. My daughter and I did photography for 18 years, and guess what we used to do? The film festival in Traverse City. Guess who started the film festival?
You?
No, it's, what's his name that used to live in Flint? His name went right out of my head.
Michael Moore?
Yeah, but he's really from Davison. He's not really from Flint, but he
Well, he always says he's from there. But
yeah,
you
know
what? If we get a hold of him and say, hey, we got a documentary for you. Here comes another Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. Right now he's kind of, because the film festival kind of went to shit because of the virus.
And
we didn't get the big personalities in there and the big films like they do at Sundance. We get the same ones up here in Traverse City. Mm-hmm. And,
are you in Traverse City?
I'm just outside in Frankfort.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I used to go there all the time. We did photography for a long time. And my daughter and I did the film festival for 11 years. We knew all the biggies over there. And Michael Moore, he would have the party to thank the volunteers after the festival. But he would be a good one He needs a bowl to chew on, and this would be a perfect one.
I feel like nobody cares.
Stephanie, Stephanie, I'm going to build you up right now. Everybody cares. There's a lot of people that care.
We care.
The next time you talk to one of these people that you think is better than you, they are not better than you. They use they use a toilet just like you do. They put their underwear on just like you do. And when they ask you who you are, you say, I am a citizen of the United States of America. I pay taxes, and you are going to listen to me. Don't you ever again say, I'm a nobody. Say that again. You are somebody, and you have been working your ass off to make things right.
And nobody listens.
I
want to
really
find people that will listen.
I used to pick up all the trash around here, but since I've gotten bad, I haven't been doing it. And I used to try to do a lot around here. And
so now you're
going to
be doing something else. You're going to be on the computer, and you're going to make things work. And I think that's a marvelous idea that Susan has. See if you can get a hold of Michael Moore. He acted kind of bored the last time he was on TV.
Susie and Elaine, we can try, right, David? We can all try.
Yeah, we can.
Yes,
we can.
How do I know that guy's not in bed with all these rich people?
I don't
know
how to get a hold of them, but I think Susan does.
Well, I don't know exactly where he lives, but I can find out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
And get an address
something
or something. We can research it.
Once you get that information, give it to Lori, and Lori will get it to me, and I'll get on the phone, and you know what? You start nagging somebody, they move.
You know how I can find them, too? I just thought of it.
You know what I noticed? Like that Mackinac Center policy, I joined their website just so I could watch them.
The Film Festival owns the State Theater downtown and the Bijou in Traverse City. The manager there, they got a new woman that's running it, she works for him. If I talk to her, I can get a hold of him. So, I'm going to do it. And then we got to get Dana Nessel in with him. We got to get the newspapers in, and he'll know how to do all that shit. Because
I really don't know what the heck I'm doing here. But
We'll get you organized, I promise.
I'm just pissed off. But
I am too. You got me. Now I got something to do. I was bored out of my mind. Now I got something.
Oh, God, I've never been bored. So
it's winter. It's been raining here, and it's, you know, I'm getting decrepit, too. My brain isn't working like it used to. I'm used to running 50 miles an hour, and then all of a sudden, boom, I stopped working. So
when this all started, I made a route where I was checking on all the older people than me to make sure they were okay, and the one lady would leave her door unlocked.
You're a giving person. You're giving person.
Well, then the
old man down the
street, he's a retired chiropractor. And I check on him every day, and he calls me and checks in. He's got dementia, though. But there's a few people here left that I try to drive by and make sure they're all right.
I'm going to start making some phone calls for you. At the very least, I get a hold of Michael Moore, and we can start getting an act together to get a hold of Nessel, you know. Okay, they're not doing this. They're not doing that. I'm paying taxes for Detroit water that, you know, I use Detroit water, but I'm paying Fit water that I'm not using, you know, and they still have my street pipes and blah, blah, blah.
On character. And you know what I think? Like Saginaw, my hometown, they own their water department, and it's really beautiful. When my mother was in Girl Scouts, that was one of the highlights of her life. She campaigned for clean water, and they put a pipeline out to it because the water was polluted from the lumbering days and all these plants. And so you couldn't drink the water. In Saginaw, one time they had pipes on the pumps, like hand pumps, where you had to get kind of to a well where she had to walk down and get drinking water and cooking water. Well, then they start, mm-hmm. that was, I mean, my mother's dead now, but she used to tell the story all the time. So they mm-hmm. campaigned, mm-hmm. and the city owns their water department. And so
yeah.
that was one of the highlights of her life. Because, you know, and so
I know,
we're going to go after everybody's water.
And businesses and factories always screwed with it and ruined it for the people, especially the poor people. I mean, the River Rouge used to catch on fire, for Christ's sake.
Right.
They just had the anniversary in the paper in the 60s.
David?
It caught on fire.
Right.
Yeah.
Can I say something?
Okay,
sure,
Sheldon Neely, when he ran, his main priority since his election as Mayor Flint has been affordable housing. That's nonsense because it's gentrification happening in Flint now. Education,
mm-hmm.
small businesses, youth outreach, all the youths are on drugs, it sounds like. Environmental
mm-hmm.
protection, that's a goddamn
yeah.
joke. Law enforcement
mm-hmm.
and public safety. Now, what is bigger in public safety and giving the people of Flint, Michigan clean water? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
So this guy, Neely, is a joker. We need to have him on the show. If he, you know,
yeah.
if he's brave enough to come on the show and answer some questions,
yeah.
you know, some basic questions. Because he's been elected
yeah.
since this past election in February 2022.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
He's been mayor, you know. And
okay.
come on now, what has he done to improve the lives of the mostly African-American people there? Nothing. So he's just, you know, sitting
mm-hmm.
down and drawing a check and... you know, not doing anything to improve the lives
yep.
of people. You know,
exactly.
come on now.
Well, a lot of these politicians get in bed with these rich people, right? That's
yeah.
what goes
exactly.
on
mm-hmm.
here. So,
exactly.
I mean, I'm telling you the truth.
It's
yeah.
true. It's true all over.
Bethany, we're so happy that you called in tonight. I want to
yeah.
have you on again. We
oh.
are going to, we're going to work as a little team here. And we're gonna try to help you the best that we can.
Do you know,
and
Claire?
In the meantime, I want you to make a list of all your complaints so that
oh,
we can
geez.
Present them to Michael Moore and to Nessel and the newspaper. Tell them what's wrong
okay.
and
okay.
how
Bethany?
Long you've been waiting.
Yes.
Yeah. So
give them to tell them, you know?
Yeah. Bethany,
does
Bethany.
Anybody know Claire? Claire?
No.
Claire
no.
McClain?
No.
Oh,
no.
Shoot. She's the head of the Democracy Defense. She should know you guys. She's
okay.
the leader
mm-hmm.
of the group I was in that was really good. But
okay.
kind of things fizzled out with this.
Hey, Bethany?
I'm not.
Send Laura your email address so you guys can hook up.
Yeah.
I'll type it to her.
We communicate. We do. So, Bethany,
yeah.
whatever. Like you to do, please, is to get some stuff, you know, like we spoke last week. So get some stuff down that you think are important as to what's happening in your area. And
okay.
we're going to try to do what we can do. And then we'll have you back, okay?
What is your group
and
called?
We appreciate you calling.
Oh.
And I will talk
yeah,
to you
Kitchen
soon. Maybe
Politics
I'll mess
123. Yeah, the name
what,
of the group
is
Kitchen Politics 123. Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show on Facebook.
Kitchen Politics.
We'll have also
123.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, we're on Facebook.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Kitchen and everybody's from Michigan.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm from New Mexico, but
no,
everybody else is from
Stephanie's
Michigan.
Stephanie's group. Stephanie's group, and Stephanie's going to get the ball rolling.
Stephanie's group.
Yeah.
Who's
Stephanie's group.
Who's Stephanie?
You.
Oh, no.
No, Mary Beth.
I'm Bethany.
No, she's Bethany.
Bethany.
Oh,
Bethany. I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right,
I'm
sorry, Bethany. Tell the head of my group who you guys are because she's
mm-hmm.
really suspicious of bringing in outsiders. And so I tell her about you. And you're like
yeah.
people
yes,
that are
just on a blog radio bitching about things that don't go right.
Okay, but you kind of
mm-hmm.
like are in this for the people.
Yeah.
I don't know what
yes,
to tell Claire.
Yeah,
represented everything right-wing nut jobs.
Oh, God.
Okay,
yep.
I'll just read her that. Okay.
I'll send you our information, Bethany. I'll send it to you.
Okay.
Oh, Bethany, I'm sorry. It sounded like Stephanie
Oh, everybody calls me Stephanie, Bethany, and
yeah.
It don't matter. Just don't call me late for dinner.
Yeah.
Okay, Bethany.
We'll try our best, Bethany.
I don't care.
All right,
I'll let you guys go.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, nice to meet y'all.
Bye.
Nice to meet you.
Bye-bye.
Yes, ma'am. That was Bethany in Flint, Michigan, talking about the lack of progress that's been going on with the water crisis since 9 years ago. And I have this mayor in there now since 2022. His name is Sheldon Neely, and he hasn't done a damn thing, you know, to better the lives of the people in Flint, Michigan.
No.
He received 4,016 votes, or 40% of the vote, in the last election, November 8th. He defeated former mayor Weaver, you know, by a little bit of votes, really. He was endorsed by the governor, Gretchen Whitmer. So I want to have this guy, Charlotte Neal and Mayor Flint, to come on and talk about what he's doing or plan to do as mayor.
Is he a Democrat or a Republican?
Yeah, he's a Democrat. He's a Democrat.
He's a Democrat.
But he's not doing anything.
No.
But as Bethany said, right to say, that most of these politicians, whether Democrat or Republican, when they get in there, basically they're beholden to the rich people. Because rich people fund the campaigns. You know, and that's why things are not getting done for the people who elected these people in. And we have to do something about the drugs that is running rampant now in Flint, you know, because, you know, the black mostly black people there, you know, I mean, you know, drugs come in there, you have violence in there and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Where do drugs come from?
Yep.
You know?
Yep. And David, you know, it's not just drugs. Like she said, they have liquor stores on every corner. And, you know, that's awful because that tells you exactly what they're trying to do in that in that area.
No,
you know,
dumb down the people. Dumb down the people and gentrification. And buy the land and houses for pennies.
Yep.
And then come in there, restore it. And, you know, it costs an arm and a leg to buy a house there or even rent an apartment there and fix up the water and everything. So rich people and upper middle class will come there and everything. Running out black people and poor people. You know,
they
it's wrong.
Detroit.
We shouldn't have it.
That's downtown Detroit. They did that.
Yeah. It's disgusting. It's disgusting.
And
when I lived in Cleveland, Ohio, that's the same thing they did in Cleveland, Ohio. And every major inner city, that's what they want to do or trying to do. In Chicago, that's what they're trying to do. How dare they? You know, who the hell do they think they are? You know, people deserve better.
Every state's got a Mackinac Center. And the Mackinac Center, all it is nothing but a bunch of lobbyists. Rich people lobbying.
Mm-hmm.
They have big conventions, and they wine you and dine you, and they buy your votes. Any local office that you're in, you go to the Mackinac conventions. And they're a joke. They're an absolute joke. They're supposed to be training sessions. Oh, yeah, they're training sessions, all right. Buy this, buy that, do this for me, do that for me. And there's no training.
Yep.
I know, I've been there, done that.
Yeah, I know.
Been there, done that. All it is a big lobbying. Oh, you want to win election again? Well, you know, this is what your city needs. Your city needs this, your city needs that. And if you play ball with me, we'll make sure you get elected again. Back in our convention.
So back in the end, so the immigration thing you're talking about, where you spoke of these people.
Yeah.
You know, I hear you loud and clear and everything, you know, and what happened, why the immigration process, handling people's processing. Another problem is that because of the COVID virus, the pandemic, things got shut down, and even though last year to reopen, you know, it's a government entity, and you know government's slow and everything, because I've been calling ad nauseum, 24/7, And then all I'm getting back is, oh, call back tomorrow, call back tomorrow. Oh, the person not here can call back Friday. You know, this big runaround. And I was reading recently, and I think it was Daily Cause, that they'll stop processing green cards this year because it's so backed up for what they had before the COVID crisis, you know. So people who are in a situation where they pay thousands of dollars, for example, the application form, if it was $25 for an immigration application form, when Trump was in there, it moved from $25 to $500 or near $500. That's what people, immigrants, dealing with, you know, and everything just got skyrocketed and everything.
That is so wrong.
Exactly.
Of course it's wrong.
You know, and to work through a lawyer to make everything process is anywhere between $8,000 to $10,000. I mean, good Lord Almighty. I mean, the Republicans are so evil, you know?
Yes.
Well, that's what, they want to cut the IRS so they don't audit the rich and the corporations, so they don't have enough people. They need at least 87,000 people to audit. But they keep on cutting. Oh, we don't want to spend the money. What? Because they don't want to be audited and fined for not paying taxes. That's all.
It has nothing to do with the money. They don't care less about the money. That's part of the whole thing. You know that they're allowing smoking now in the U.S. Capitol. You know that's been banned for a long time. And they're allowing smoking in there now?
Are you serious?
Yes. They're allowing smoking in the
U.S. Well, they let them walk in there with machine guns, remember?
Yeah. And then the House Ethics Committee has been gutted. And then also I spoke about this last week about the women lawmakers that have to cover their arms in the Missouri legislature. This is what they're doing. This is
I know they're rolling
out.
Back everything, abortion rights and all that crap. I mean, they're turning us into the Stone Ages. Jesus Christ.
Well, I do think that there should be a dress code for women because some of the women aren't paying attention about looking presentable.
It should be business-like, you go into a corporate office, you represent your state, you should look decent.
There's been a few representatives, and they've come to that podium. I take two looks at them, and I'm wondering exactly where have they been all day. They sure as heck don't look like representatives. I'm sorry, but a woman should care enough about her appearance to look professional.
It should be professional.
And if she can't do it without looking professional, then there needs to be a list of rules.
Mm-hmm. Well,
there needs to be a list of rules.
If it's hot summer, she should at least be able to have short sleeves
Why? The men
because
don't.
Because it's hot.
Why? Yeah. The men don't. The men have a long sleeve shirt on and a suit jacket, and the building is air conditioned.
I don't know.
Mm.
That's the least of my problems right now.
And
that is
not a problem.
Yeah.
We should be worrying about other things. We should be worrying about Santos. He's got to go. He has got to go. I would like to know, was he born here in the United States? I would like him to produce his birth certificate.
Yeah, he probably wasn't. More than likely.
I've got a feeling he's a foreign operative.
Yeah, there's something wrong with him.
Definitely.
I think there's something wrong with him. I don't think he's got all his marbles, but I think he's a foreign operative. George Santos was recently, it was recently revealed that he speaks fluent Russian. So that brings up other questions. Okay, we have 35 minutes to go. This is Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. I'm David Franklin. I'm with Laura Picker in Michigan. You can find us on facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. We'd love to hear from everybody. When you call in, say first name, where you're calling from. We'd love to hear from everybody. And the next call coming in from Louisiana. Hello, Pianke. Welcome to the show.
Hello, David. How you doing?
Excellent.
That is David, yeah. Look,
yes.
David and Laurie.
Fanta was a representative for what state?
Say that again?
I say Representative Fanta is from what state? New York, right?
New York, 3rd District.
Well, that's the people in New York that voted for him. That's their responsibility.
Okay.
No, it's our responsibility. He represents all of us.
It's his. It's just like you got Sheila Jackson Lee trying to pass gun regulation because she has an exuberant amount of criminality in her 18th congressional district of Texas. She wants to pass a gun regulation that's going to apply to the entire nation. We don't experience that type of criminality like you do, Sheila. Take care of your own district. That's who you are behooving to.
Well, then why are the Republicans trying to run everything?
That's because the people let it happen. You just said it yourself.
Like you. People like you.
You don't know nothing about me, ma'am. And one thing
I don't know nothing about me either.
Well, I just got through listening to you talk
about
your water.
You come on this program and you shoot your mouth off and you cut us down.
I just got through listening to you talk about your water. Now, see, in our county, in St. Louis County, they passed the bond issue. And we put new mains throughout
the
doggone county. We paid for it.
Would you please explain to me where are you from? One time you're from Louisiana, another time you're from Chicago, and now you're from another county?
I never said I was from Chicago.
Oh, yes, you have.
I have a winter home.
Oh,
listen.
Yes, you have. You said you walked the streets of Chicago and the gangs were running rapid.
I ain't never said that.
Oh, yes, you have. Oh, yes, you
have. I
have
been in Chicago
a
year.
Oh, yes, you have.
But let me tell you where I'm from. I have a winter home in the south, and when the temperature turns hot here, I go back up north to my summer home.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. Yeah, right.
What do you want me to tell you, a lie? What do you want me to tell you, a lie? Okay, I tell you a lie.
Okay.
I'm from Russia. You want to hear a lie? I'm from Russia.
You know what? That I believe.
Okay,
that
okay,
I believe.
Okay.
So, but here's the thing.
Like you're from Russia.
Here's the thing, David.
Come on, everybody, stop. Tianke.
Yeah,
so it's Sheila Jackson Lee in Texas 18. You know, she's not only having a problem in her district. She's not having only a problem in District 18 in Texas where she represents. But there's a nationwide problem with gun violence. You know, so wouldn't it be better?
Well, no, it's, but
there,
here's the thing. I hear what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
She, her concern is the district that elected her. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
That she has a congressional district. She has a congressional district which has several state representatives within it. Actually, those state representatives control her. So she need to tend with her own district and leave everybody else's alone.
No, but as a congressperson, the bigger picture is the collective safety of America. So with all these bump stocks and guns and
it ain't no
automatic
weapons
and everything.
Bump stocks is not illegal.
But it should be illegal. Why should somebody get bump stocks, go into a classroom, and murder children? That's what's
well,
been
what's
happening.
What's wrong with it?
It's
not here's the thing. It's the people. You got some ignorant people that's doing these things. It's like you got some people, ignorant people, making these claims about, I said I was in Chicago, from Chicago. It's
so
people.
Listen. One moment. I want to say something. Why is it that a six-year-old went into a classroom and shot his teacher? A six-year-old. How did that six-year-old get that gun?
Well, that's up to the parents.
That's up to the parents. But the teacher is fighting for her life.
The teacher is the aftermath of a child being able to do something because they had lack of parents' control over that child.
And obviously that parent should not have a gun with a six-year-old in the house. And obviously that parent does not know how to be a parent.
Well,
so
I got guns in my house. My kids never did take them and go to school and shoot somebody.
I didn't say, I'm not talking
about
you.
Are you blaming
the
gun?
Punishment is?
Wait a minute.
What
are you blaming
the
gun?
Punishment? what do you think the right punishment is for the parents?
What is the right punishment?
What do you think is the right punishment for the parents for not
locking
up the gun?
It's up to that municipality.
No, absolutely
no.
not. You're
no.
wrong about that. It is not.
So what is it? So you saying that it's federal responsibility to keep parents from letting their children get guns?
Then why do we have a federal government?
It's not no federal responsibility. The federal government does not have that type of overreach. Federal government cannot control your local police department.
Oh, excuse me. Then why did the federal government say that abortion is illegal if they don't have overreach?
Federal government didn't say that abortion was illegal.
Excuse me. The Supreme Court is the federal government.
The Supreme Court is to
it's
listen to arguments.
Government.
The Supreme Court is to listen to arguments between parties. The
it's
Supreme
the
Court is supposed
government.
To look at laws
Nobody
and see if those laws, see if those laws.
It.
You know, your kids don't understand because your parents, the grown people, don't be quiet enough to listen to get the answer to the questions that they ask.
Okay, so now there was also enough. In California, this father killed his 17-year-old mother, 6-month-old baby. They were killed in a shooting on Monday. And this man supposedly was a wonderful father. So what is going on? So what I'm trying to say is we need some sort of testing of people. Just like we get a driver's license, we have to renew it. Why not renew and have tests for these people? They just walk in and buy guns, and then people get killed because they have mental illness or they don't know how to properly use a gun or they use it out for their anger or whatever the case is. But this cannot go on like this. And I don't care what anybody says. We need some gun control in this country. That's it. There's too many people that die every day.
Well, that's people. That is people. It ain't the guns.
See what I'm saying.
You had a man, you had an idiot, you had a black man trying to stab somebody with a knife in a Walmart.
That has nothing to do with a gun, okay? I'm not talking about a knife. I'm talking about a gun.
Well,
and
guns don't kill. Guns don't kill people. People using a gun inappropriately was what causes those type of things.
Please.
When a drunk driver hits and kills a person, oh my God! When a drunk driver hits and kills a person, you take that car away from them. You take their license away from them.
Exactly.
Not allowed to drive again.
Well, that's not true. If a drunk driver kills a person accidentally, it's an accident. You don't take the car.
A drunk driver is not an accident.
That depends on the municipality.
Okay, Pianke, I have a question.
Oh, my God.
Pianke, what do you think about gun liability?
Thou shalt not use the Lord's name in vain. Go ahead, David.
Okay, what do you think about gun liability?
Use the Lord's name in vain. Don't go twisting my words.
Okay, so what do you think about gun liability insurance? Should there be a national law for gun liability insurance, the people who own the gun or buy the guns? If the kids pick up a gun, go out there to school and shoot a teacher or whomever else, God forbid, should the parents be held responsible for something like
your
that?
Your homeowner
have a national
insurance
law.
Cover it. Your homeowner insurance cover it. Then there is what's called concealed carry insurance. Yes.
No,
I have it.
That's not what he's talking about.
That is not, no.
Well, why
that
don't you let him say what he's talking about?
Yeah,
we
gun
know
liability
exactly
insurance
what he's talking
where
about.
a person who buys a gun, they get gun liability insurance. So if they don't use the gun, but somebody else uses the gun to hurt somebody else, they'll be responsible for, because it's their gun, it's under their name and everything. So if there's any prison consequences, then they'll go to prison. Wouldn't that be responsible gun control or gun safety measures?
Absolutely, David.
My grandson is getting ready to take up gun safety and tactical shooting. And then I'm going to let him get his license to carry. Those are my stipulations. Now, other parents can do the same thing.
And
no, it's not.
It's not.
What about carrying extra insurance? You own a gun. You make sure that you have insurance that if that gun, since you say it's the gun, that gun is used by somebody that isn't supposed to use it, goes out and hurts somebody and maims somebody, then you had better have insurance to cover it.
And that person that goes out and maims somebody needs to be punished to the most degree of the law, even put to death.
Well, you finally said something that makes sense.
But that not only stop the problem because guns will go up and are in the hands of the wrong people. Like, for example, in Iowa, there's this law where blind people can have guns. That's the craziest thing I ever heard, blind people with licensed firearms.
A person that's blind needs to be able to protect themselves.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
If you're blind and somebody come wrap their arm around your neck trying to choke you, if you got a gun, what you gonna do with it?
Okay, John K.
What'd you do with it, David?
Think about it.
Come on.
Okay, well, no,
David.
Okay.
David, what would, if you was blind? Hang on for a second.
You
like to ask me questions. Let me ask you a question. If you were blind and someone came up and wrap their hands around your neck and start choking you, saying, "I'm gonna kill." What would you do with the gun in your pocket?
Well, you
why
know, shoot
would you
the
be
person,
carrying
of course,
a gun in your pocket?
Self-defense.
David, look,
well,
now
however,
see, here's where the hypocrisy come in. See, you can ask me questions, expect me to answer, but I ask you a simple question.
Hang on, don't get all excited, man.
You sound like an excited black man. Now listen, if you was blind and somebody came and put their hands around your neck and said they're going to choke you and kill you, what would you do with the gun in your pocket?
No, David, I don't think you need to answer the race baiter.
Thank you, that's great.
You're a race baiter.
But Pianke, I'm saying a blind person have no business with a gun because of cast the word.
No, that's not. You cannot deny a person because they have these handicaps from being able to express themselves like any other citizen. Isn't that about the American Disability Act?
They don't own a driver. Do they drive a car? They need to get to the drugstore. Do they drive a car?
We're not talking about driving a car. We're
we're not talking about a car.
But a car can be used as a weapon, Pianke.
Why would they use a car as a weapon? Unless you're talking about the guy that was in Wisconsin that ran over in Thanksgiving, the white town where he was having the Thanksgiving parade, and he goes driving down the street zigzag trying to kill people. This black guy.
If you can't you don't drive a car, right?
Who's saying that when you take an eye when you get your driver's license, do you not have to take an eye test, a vision test?
I asked you a question.
When you got your driver's license and had to take a vision test, what happens if you don't pass the vision test?
Then you're
that should answer
you
your question.
Okay. I have one more thing for you, Pianke. Okay, every gun owner should go to the shooting range and learn how to handle a gun and, you know, shoot at the targets and everything. A blind person can't do that. So why the blind person should have a gun where they don't know how to load it because they're blind, they don't know how to shoot it or where they're shooting, because they're blind, you know? But how does that make sense?
Like I told you, you know, I'm a pilot, and I can fly in the clouds. I can't see, right?
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Now I can't see. When you're flying in the clouds, you can't see.
Come on,
so you're saying I shouldn't have I should have the ability to fly?
Yes, Mr. Santos. Yeah. Now you're a pilot.
Okay. All right. Oh, Lord. What a show. Okay, so would you say the Second Amendment should be updated to the modern times? Because back in the day when I made the Second Amendment, it was like muskets they had. They didn't have M16 or assault rifles. Would you be for the updating of the Second Amendment, not banishing?
No, it's weapons. It was the weapons of the time. It's a lie. You had court decisions say it's a lie. And, you know, you was talking earlier. Pardon me?
No, they had muskets back then.
What,
and the state militia and what have you.
That was
to
the,
defend
that
from
was
the British
the, invaders. That was the most. You know, at some point in time, you're going to have phases as you see on Star Trek. Right?
What does that have to do with the statement that David just made? He's trying to make a point, and you're not. You're
I
not
just made a counterpoint.
That is not a counterpoint.
It is a counterpoint. If one day when it came into the invention, they had muskets and cap and ball. They also had cap and ball at that time.
Okay,
so it evolves with the modernity of the times.
Okay. In order for it to evolve, you'd have to amend it.
Ma'am, I'm going to cut this real short. The second
evolve,
people, Americans are not giving up their guns. It ain't going to happen.
We're not asking people to give up the guns. We're asking them to be responsible.
And you're not
with the guns.
It says in the law, it shall not be infringed. You know what that means? Everything you said so far is infringing the right of a U.S. citizen from using the Second Amendment protection. It shall not be infringed.
And why should my liberties be infringed upon?
Why should
What's,
my liberties
like
be
what? Like what
I
liberties are that?
Why should my liberties be
when
infringed
when
upon?
You
don't sound like you're in a church singing. I can't understand anybody.
Okay.
The deep voice lady, what liberties do you have that's being infringed?
When I go to Starbucks,
why don't you let
them
wait a minute? Hang on. One of your friends asked the question.
Bianchi, can you let David talk? Thank you.
Well, deep voice lady asked me a question.
Okay, answer the question.
But what
whatever
lady?
Question should I ask?
You.
But what lady? What did he
and
call
what
me?
And what liberty do you have that's being taken away from you?
My fear of going outside my door and having some nut shoot me.
Okay. So my point is, you go to a
That's
Starbucks,
emotions, man.
Or you go to Starbucks, or you go to a grocery store, Walmart, and you see these small penis men with these big guns strapped around them. Is that
you
really necessary?
Who?
Isn't that infringing
wait a minute,
on
wait
people's
a minute,
rights?
Wait a minute. What kind of man you see?
Yeah, if you have such a big gun, and you want to
you
parade
got trouble
around
with
it. I mean, you know,
you say you see a small what?
Small
oh
penis man. Must be because, you know, you must be compensating for something with such a big gun. Why you need a big gun to order Starbucks coffee or to shop at Walmart?
He can have whatever he wants. It can be a fashion statement, whatever he wants to use.
Oh, my God, Bianchi, no. That's infringing on people's rights. You know,
what people's
on,
right.
Man.
I know some stores that would give you a discount if you open carry to their place of business.
Well, I don't know where you live, but it's not anywhere near where I live. And I will tell you, if I walk into, let's say, a Target, and I see someone opening carry with an AR-15 or an assault rifle, I will definitely go find the manager and tell the manager that.
Well, suppose they got a shotgun. Suppose they have a bow and arrow. A bow and arrow is a weapon.
What?
Just no common weapons. Totally.
A bow and arrow is a weapon. A knife is a weapon. Do you know that? Do you know that in a year's time, more people are killed more people are killed from knives, hands, and fists than they are semi-automatic rifles.
Where do you get your statistics
the
from?
The FBI.
Bullshit.
Oh,
bullshit.
Well,
you
asked me a question, and I saw for you to go
bunch
check
of
yourself.
It's bullshit that you're throwing across this telephone. It's bullshit, and you know.
Well,
it.
I don't have sex with bulls, so I wouldn't know how they smell. Do you?
I said bullshit.
Okay, okay, everybody, calm down. Let's take a break. Everybody breathe.
Take a break,
Lord.
For who?
Yeah.
No. I mean, you know, everybody's shouting at each other.
Now, you were making some mention about illegals and green cards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Any person that's in this country illegal is breaking the law. And they need to be found and that problem alleviated. They're not supposed to be working. If they accumulate assets while they're illegally in the country, thus by working illegally, those assets should be seized as you would a drug dealer.
Okay, and so who's hiring these illegal immigrants in the first place?
Anyone that hires illegal immigrants should have to pay some repercussions. Simple.
Like Walmart and Target and all those kind of places as well. You know that they're out
anyone
there.
That hires
and
illegals.
Trump,
anyone
Donald
that
Trump,
hires illegals should have
Donald
to pay
Trump.
A penalty.
And
Donald Trump, right,
Bianca? Who hired illegal Polish workers?
And didn't pay
Donald
them and shot them and stiffed them.
And he didn't pay them. He didn't even pay
anybody
them.
That hires illegals and knowingly do so, then they should be a fine.
Then and now they shouldn't go to jail because I mentioned Donald Trump.
Should they go to jail?
They should go to prison. Donald Trump should be the first one to go to prison when he hired those illegal Polish workers, and then he had the nerve to not even pay them. He paid them half.
What were they working at?
One of his towers.
Oh, on a construction project. Well, let me ask you something. Why come they didn't put a lien? Why come they didn't put a mechanics lien on the project?
I don't know. You tell me.
Well, that's
because
what you do. When you're working on a project, when
you're
working on a project.
No, don't interrupt me.
When you're working on
a
project and
it.
You do not pay all your suppliers or material handler or your labor, then they file a mechanics lien against the project, and the final payment does not get cleared until they have all those mechanic liens are taken care of. They
like
call it a waiver.
Donald Trump
went
through the legality of all of it and didn't have to pay anything because he had good attorneys.
Well, that's what attorneys supposed to do. They have good civil rights attorneys, too.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay to do that, right? Because
is it against the law to have attorneys?
Oh, my God. David, would you talk to this man?
Pionke, I have another question. We have 10 minutes to go. I have another question. What about legal green card holders? They're working, waiting for citizenship. They pay taxes and Social Security and what have you. You know, what do you feel about that?
If you're in the country legal, you can get a Social Security number. If you're in the country illegal, you cannot. At one point, they was issuing out what was called the I-10 number. Individual tax identification number was made available for those who did not qualify for Social Security numbers. That should have been eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
He's asking about the green holders, the ones that have the green cards. And are
well, what about
legal?
Them? They here legally. Should
He's
that not answer
about,
the question?
If they got a green card,
they have qualified for the process that would allow them to have the green card, which is temporary.
Mm-hmm. So this right-wing talking point about immigrants, whether legal or not, coming to take away good American jobs, what good American jobs, you know, you as a right-wing conservative, what jobs, American jobs, good American jobs, are these migrants taking away from Americans?
Whatever they
you know,
do, they shouldn't be
food.
Working in the country if they're illegal. What is it so hard to understand by that?
It's not hard to
then
understand.
Then why corporations,
Why are corporations employing them then? That's part of the problem.
You have to ask the corporation.
Who
you should bring charges.
To
you yourself can bring civil charges against a corporation if you know that's going on. You have, are you a U.S. citizen, David?
Why do you care? Can I ask you a question?
David,
why
are you a U.S. citizen? If you're a U.S. citizen, then you yourself can take it upon the process of filing a civil lawsuit.
Okay,
but good luck for one person going up against a corporation.
What do you mean? All you do is file, David. You file a complaint, and it goes to court.
To who?
Okay, Lori, ask a question. We have 9 minutes left.
Yeah. Why do you care so much, Bianca, about people that are here illegally? Why?
Because I'm a natural born United States citizen.
Are they hurting you?
I'm a natural-born United States citizen.
I am too. So am I.
Well, some people, some citizens are more diligent than living out their civic responsibilities than others.
Oh, please! And what are you going to do about it? Would you just? What would you do? Tell me.
I was a corporation too. I didn't hire no illegals.
You would not feel bad?
I was a corporation, too, and I didn't hire any illegals.
I thought you were an airplane pilot.
No, that's not what I'm asking.
No, that's a hobby. I don't do that as a living.
You said you were a commercial airplane pilot.
I didn't tell you I was a commercial airplane. David, did I ever say I was a commercial airplane pilot?
Okay, last point I want
David, did I ever say I was a commercial airline pilot?
Well, you say you're a pilot. You didn't specify what type of pilot.
David, did I ever say I was a commercial airline pilot?
No, answer the question. You say you're a pilot. You didn't specify what type of
pilot. All right,
I
never said I was a commercial airline pilot.
Farmers, landscapers hire illegal immigrants because they need them. Americans not only take these shitty jobs, you know? So why shouldn't the farmers and landscapers and the quote-unquote menial jobs, you know, suffer because Americans don't take these jobs?
No. What farmers and landscapers should do is make sure that the people that they are hiring are here legally.
And what if they
I'm
are...
I'm saying Americans don't want a job. That's why they have no choice.
No, that's not the point. The point is that those businesses hiring illegals, they should take it upon themselves to make sure that their employees are here legally.
But they don't...
Tell that to Donald Trump as well.
But you don't
what does Donald Trump have to do with it? Donald Trump is no president.
Polish workers.
That's hearsay.
No, it's not hearsay. It came out.
Give me the court case. Give me the court case.
Official James.
Give me the court case, David.
In New York.
David, give me the court case.
One of the reasons.
What do you mean? David.
Yes.
Give me a docket. Yes. Give me a date and a docket number on the court agenda.
For what?
That's what one of the reasons why the official
So I can read the transcript of the case and see what you're talking about, David.
It will come out because the investigation about to wrap up in New York, where Donald Trump hired illegal immigrants, didn't pay them shit.
Yes.
You know. Come on,
that
man.
That case in New York is not about Donald Trump personally. It's about a business.
Oh, please.
And
Donald
the work for the Trump,
Trump
organization.
Oh, my God.
He hired them, the Trump
That's
organization.
Okay,
Trump didn't hire
them.
Nobody. It's
the
business. A corporation has a veil between him and it. It's called an invisible veil.
You don't know nothing. You are full of it. Donald Trump is the owner of a corporation.
So in other words, what you're saying is that he can break all the laws that he wants. He doesn't have to pay taxes. He did not have to pay his employees.
He did pay taxes for, I don't know, wait a minute.
Why?
What, whose taxes?
Finished.
His personal taxes? His personal taxes is nobody's business.
I am not finished. The way he paid his employees by giving them free rent, giving them their cars, paying for their schooling, that's how he paid his employees and their families. He did not pay them with money. So that is why he has to pay almost a $2 million fine next week. So don't try to tell
me. Well, here's the thing. If you had employees receiving that gratitude, the employees supposed to pay taxes on the gratitude.
He lost the case. You're full of crap. They worked for him.
If the employee, if I was to buy David $200, if my company was to buy David $200 worth of groceries, David, you hear this. If my company was to buy you $200 worth of groceries, David, you the one's got to pay the taxes on it.
You're wrong.
Well, okay. You know, we'll run out of time and everything. The music playing to lead us out and everything. Thank you so much, everybody, Pianke, for calling. Thank you for calling. Everybody
Bethany,
who called. What a night. Okay, so next show, we're going to have Thursday. We'll start at the same time. We're at the same place. 7:30 p.m. New Mexico time, 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we're going to talk about male toxicity, you know, what we're going to do about male toxicity in America and, you know, death to the patriarchy. That's the topic, you know, because we have a problem here with male patriarchy and
how it's
destroying society, you know. So it was a spirited debate and conversation tonight. We'll thank everybody for calling. Remember to like us on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/kitchenpolitics123. Leave a comment. Don't be shy. Till next time, Thursday, we'll see you then. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Laurie.
Good night, David. This is Laurie Pricka in Michigan. And everyone have a great night. Take care. See you Thursday.
Thank you.